One. Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to Hoops HD Championship Week Video Notebook, day number 11, right?
You get me out of here, please.
I'm your host, Chad Sherwood.
Out of here, please.
Joined by John Slica and locked in the puppet
in bunker. Down here for days. David, get me out of the Look.
Listen, I found a few pretzels and a...
That's not good enough.
I pushed them under the door. Okay.
Joe Lenardi in his bracket bunker, he's able to come and go. He's able to leave the building if he wants to. He's not just locked down in this bunker.
That's not the point of a bunker. A bunker is to be locked in.
No, it isn't.
You can get out after the tournament's done.
That's not for another couple of weeks.
Well, April. That's David Griggs left of the puppet bunker, and below me, John Stalica, aka D'Antonio, right?
Dan D'Antoni tribute right here. If you saw their win against Old Dominion tonight?
Yes, with the jacket and t-shirt look. Always looks so awful. But this is our Championship Week Video Notebook, where what we do is we go over any news and notes, we review the day's conference tournament games, preview the next day's, update our survival board, update you on what our Hoops HD mock selection committee has done. We'll get to that at the end of the show now. We had our first official meeting today. But we start out every show with our favorite feature, the mailbag.
Oh, my God!
And although it failed last time, for some reason, we've decided to pass the mailbag over to Stalica again tonight. So, John, show's all yours.
Okay, the first question I have is going to be for Chad. I hope I'm pronouncing this town right. It's actually going to be in your neck of the woods. It's Chris from Absecon. Mm-hmm. And Chris asks, after Rutgers won their first conference tournament game in 3 years, what is your outlook for the Scarlet Knights to possibly make the NCAA tournament themselves under Steve Peichel?
Well, given their loss tonight to Northwestern, I think they have zero shot of making the NCAA tournament this year, Chris. However, if you look in the future, I really think the future is bright for this team. I think Peichel is finally the right coach. I think that what they showed this year, even, in being a lot more competitive than they've been in a long time, I'm not going to say next year, but I'm going to say the next 3 years that this should be an NCAA tournament team.
Okay, that's not a bad answer. And now the question I have, while addressed mainly to the puppet, could also go to everyone else on the panel. This comes from Erica in Charlotte right here, and she says, I noticed you guys had mention of the Hoops HD pasta dinner, but as you also know, there is a tradition of ice cream at the end of each night. So, Puppet, what would be your favorite flavor?
Beer. Bourbon. Bourbon. Bourbon is my favorite flavor of ice cream.
I suppose if we were asking the question, we'd be asking what your favorite stick of gum would be.
Well, I didn't get any pasta or gum or anything. No bourbon. I'm just locked in this stupid bunker.
I think they probably do make beer-flavored ice cream. I got to tell you, if you want a good ice cream, though, Ben & Jerry's Half-Baked, best ice cream out there. Just saying.
Oh, it is good.
Or in my neck of the woods, it's Grater's, and I would go for cookies and cream.
No. Ben & Jerry's.
Yeah.
You're wrong. So how many points does he lose for that?
All of them.
Since I'm in charge of the mailbag, none.
No, I've taken back control here. I thought this was a points awarding thing where we could like score points and win prizes. David, we may let you see a little bit of sunlight as your prize.
That would be great, yes.
Let's start to any news and notes. Few pieces of news, actually. A few more coaches that lost their jobs today, including Derek Kellogg at UMass, Bob Williams out at UC Santa Barbara. But the biggest piece of news was a very disappointing to you, David. I know you're very upset when you heard this, but the Vegas 16 is officially off.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great one-year run, and they couldn't get 16 teams for the 1 year they ran it. It was canceled. I can only assume – I didn't read the article. I just saw the announcement. I can only assume it was canceled due to a complete lack of interest on anyone's part outside of myself.
Now, from what I've read, it's been suspended. I don't know if it's been permanently dissolved yet.
They may try to bring it back again, but I seriously doubt it. However, what was not dissolved was our very own Hoops HD. Not many people know this, but we sponsor our own postseason tournament here.
Yes, we do.
The AC8.
The AC8. Now, I mean, one of the unique things about this tournament, people think that just because we haven't put together a field or found a venue or actually played it in the past means that it doesn't exist. But no, it does exist. We just haven't.
Our whole goal here was we wanted to play it actually on an aircraft carrier.
Right.
The problem is we had a little bit of trouble with the aircraft carrier. We ended up with a rowboat.
Yes.
But we do have a rowboat put aside that we're going to be setting out to the ocean to allow the teams to play basketball on it. So we're kind of excited about that. We're going to be sending out invites sometime next week. We'll have maybe even do a little bracket reveal show.
Yeah, we could do that. It's the AC8, so that means that there's 11-ish teams in it.
11-ish teams, and we're also going to do in one of my favorite old championship week traditions, we're also going to throw in a MEAC bonus game.
Yes, a MEAC, yeah.
It doesn't have any MEAC teams in it, but it's going to be the MEAC bonus.
Right.
if you recall the MEAC bonus game, I think it was Winston-Salem State and North Carolina Central, and both were trying to transition up.
Right.
How about opposite games from the Sun Belt?
Yeah, we could do that too. Teams that didn't make the Sun Belt tournament.
We were kind of thinking about it, maybe having four teams play the same games at the same time on the same court, but
right.
We're kind of working on that, the logistics of that still. But let's move big on rowboat.
Big rowboat. Need a big rowboat.
Let's move on to these games here.
Is anybody still watching after all that?
They're all gone. To the one or two of you that maybe left and, hi, Mom, but yeah. One or two that might be left. This is the ACC tournament. Today was quarterfinal day in the ACC tournament, heading right into the real games that were played. We saw North Carolina really take care of Miami, and then two pretty really good games after that with Duke, Louisville, Florida State over Vatek, and then in the nightcap, Notre Dame surprisingly knocked off Virginia, beating them for the first time since 1981.
And doing so handily.
Yeah.
My impressions of the games today, North Carolina just blasted Miami, as you already mentioned. Louisville, I have been big on this Louisville team all year, and the one thing I was waiting for was for them to get a big, big road win or do something of significance, because as good as their profile is, they've built it all up at home, and it's like, well, they didn't get it, but I still think they're well-positioned in the ACC tournament to pick up some wins. Not getting the win today, and now my feeling on them has changed. I still think that they're easily a protected seed, but is this a protected seed that does not make the Sweet 16? Because, unfortunately, they do not get to play the tournament at the Yum Center.
Yeah, I'm not that certain. I've not been as high in Louisville as you have been this season, but what I do know is that we had four games today that a couple of them, including the Notre Dame, Virginia, and Louisville Duke game, could have been Sweet 16 caliber games. We've got a pair of games tomorrow that could be Final Four caliber type of games.
Yeah.
North Carolina, Duke, and Florida State, Notre Dame. John, any thoughts on these two games tomorrow?
I believe it was Kyle Lamb who put this in our committee meeting earlier. There is another fun fact about North Carolina and Duke. As far as whoever loses the second game between the two teams, I believe the loser has never won the ACC tournament in the same season.
No, I'm sorry. There's only two fun facts about North Carolina Duke.
Yes.
David, can you tell us the true two fun facts?
Well, one is just the proximity of the two schools. I mean, did you realize that they are only 8 miles apart?
Only 8 miles.
And the other is, this is unbelievable given their storied history, but they have never met in the NCAA tournament.
Not once.
Not once.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Let's keep moving here. And I'm going to go over to the Atlantic 10, which was in the second round day today. As Davidson knocked off LaSalle, we saw St. Bonaventure beat UMass. We've got marks all over the screens, apparently. We got George Mason with an overtime win over Fordham. And GW took care of St. Louis. John, your thoughts on these games today?
not quite as exciting as the finish that we had between St. Louis and Duquesne. I mean, Davidson was actually running away from LaSalle until the Explorers made that competitive.
Yeah, and Fordham had George Mason beat. I think they were up 6 with about 10 seconds to go. And George Mason hit a couple threes and ended up forcing overtime and then got it done in the overtime. Now, I think George Mason's program is heading in the right direction. Their coach's name escapes me. It's the middle of the night. I forget his name. I just realized I'm trying to pay a compliment to a guy whose name I can't remember. But George Mason's program, after being completely wrecked under, has certainly turned around. I think that they're about a year or two away from being inside the bubble and at the top of the league, but still a nice 20-win season for them.
I believe it's Dave Paulson, if you're referring to George Mason.
Yes,
I was trying to double-check on his name right there, but John beat me to it. But, John, we got tomorrow.
They got me locked in a bunker. It's hard to remember some things.
Tomorrow we have Dayton versus Davidson, Rhodey versus the Bonnies, VCU versus George Mason, Richmond versus GW. Do you see any surprises in tomorrow's games?
The only surprise I'm going to be picking right here is going to be GW to take out Richmond. But I do think Dayton and Rhode Island are going to set up a pretty pivotal semifinal on Saturday.
I think that the Dayton and Rhode Island could play each other on Saturday, but it's not going to be a game that's going to mount or anything because St. Bonaventure is going to take care of Rhode Island tomorrow, David.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay, they might.
I wouldn't be surprised to see Davidson knock off Dayton, too, and be left with us needing VCU to win this tournament so that a bid doesn't get lost here.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Dayton's pretty good. I think they get by Davidson without too much trouble, but I don't think they win the tournament. I think it's Richmond.
And do you see what's looming here in the semifinals of the bottom?
Yes.
We could have a VCU-Richmond semifinal. That's all I got to say.
Right. I was going to say, if Dayton does lose that game tomorrow, that's actually going to be 2 in a row and may actually put their seed mark into a little bit of question.
Yeah, it would, I would think.
Yeah. Big East tournament today was quarterfinal day. Villanova tied the record for the largest margin of victory in a Big East tournament game ever with a 41-point victory over St. John's.
Yeah, and you know what really bothered me about this game was that they were forced to play a road game.
Yeah, it was really a disadvantage, wasn't it?
Yeah, really big disadvantage.
John, Seton Hall continues to impress me, especially the way they took care of Marquette today.
I mean, all three of the games this year between Seton Hall and Marquette have gone down to the final minutes and could have easily gone either way, and Seton Hall will get the 2 out of 3 falls here.
Yeah, so Seton Hall and Villanova in one semifinal tomorrow. David, Xavier... I guess maybe I should be asking this, John, because they're your team here. But Xavier got the huge win over Butler that I think locked them into the NCAA tournament. And we did lock them in our survival board that we'll get to at the end of the show.
It locks them into the field, and barring any further shenanigans, as we'll get into a couple conferences later, that should get them above the first four in Dayton, which would be a road game for them. So big win on multiple fronts for the Musketeers tonight.
I think a win over Creighton tomorrow would lock them in above Dayton. I don't think they're locked over Dayton yet, but I think they are in the field at this point.
I think a win against Creighton definitely locks them in, and they're probably pushing the top half of it. The one thing that they were lacking was things. Well, they got a big thing today.
Creighton over Providence, actually, that, you know, Providence has been playing so well. For Creighton to win this game, despite that they've been without Mo Watson, I think that really turned my eye here. And I'm thinking now Creighton may not be as bad as I thought they've been since Mo Watson went out.
Yeah, I got to admit that, I mean, I've been picking on Creighton ever since Greg McDermott got there. And I've been picking on Greg McDermott since he was at Northern Iowa and was awesome until the latter part of the season. I was fully expecting them to lose to Providence and then lose their round of 64 game, regardless of who it was against, and then finish once again 3-7 in his last 10 games. But I was really, Creighton didn't just win this game. They looked really, really good. I was really impressed with them. And congratulations to them. It's been a lot to overcome, but they are still a solid tournament team with the chance to maybe do more than just get there.
Yeah. I'm looking at Xavier and Villanova being the finals here, the two winners for tomorrow. John, you agree?
I agree that Villanova gets there, but I think it's actually going to be a coin flip between Xavier and Creighton. As a Musketeer fan, I probably would have preferred the Providence matchup, but I still think Xavier is capable of beating the Blue Jays here.
Of course, Xavier fans probably aren't very happy that I picked them, because I've picked against them each the last two rounds, and now suddenly I'm picking for them. And so maybe they're not very happy I just picked them to win. Let's turn over to the Big Ten, where we were in second round play today, where Michigan, to the extent there was any question that they weren't in the NCAA tournament, I think locked it up today against Illinois. Michigan State rolled Penn State. Northwestern took out Rutgers, and again, to the extent there was any question they weren't in, that, I think that has been answered now. But Illinois with the loss to Michigan, and then Iowa with the blowout loss to Indiana, were two teams that were treading towards the field, David, and now are they done, or do they either one still have a shot here?
I suppose an argument could be made for both of them if you really had to make one, but I think they're done. I just don't – yeah, I'm just not that impressed with either one of them to the point to where I think they're going to make the field, but they might.
Well, John, the big – I mean, we have Purdue, Michigan, Minnesota, Michigan State, Maryland, Northwestern should all be really good games, but – what about Wisconsin, Indiana? Do the Hoosiers suddenly have life here if they can get by the Badgers tomorrow?
It wouldn't surprise me. I mean, Wisconsin also lost a similar game last year to Nebraska, and I think even Michigan also won on a buzzer beater, which actually put them in the tournament last year. I think Indiana's late run is going to end against the Badgers, though.
Right. But, David, I think the other three games could all be really fun ones.
Yeah, they should be. And I think most of those teams are playing for seeding, whereas Indiana still needs to play their way in. Everybody, when they won the day, people on our committee, and I think all the talking heads everywhere, is like, oh, does this put Indiana back in the NCAA tournament picture? And, of course, it doesn't. Why would beating a bubble team when you yourself are way outside the bubble suddenly put you inside the bubble? Now, if they beat Wisconsin, I still don't think they're in, but they're definitely not there yet. They beat a bubble team. That's all they did.
Yeah, now, beating Wisconsin puts you in the conversation.
Right.
Beating Maryland or Northwestern making the Big Ten title game is going to be another story here. Now we're going to have to really look at them.
Right. Yeah, but no, they're not in because of that. That's preposterous.
Big 12 quarterfinal day, and what the hell happened? I have no idea. I have no idea what happened to this conference. I'm just
this was my semifinal.
Yeah, right.
It was.
I was staying with a nice game, a nice win over Oklahoma State, but then TCU. I mean, now Jackson wasn't there for Kansas. It was a shorthanded Kansas team, but TCU beats them. Kansas came back from a deficit to tie it up late and still fell.
Tied it up late and appeared to have control. TCU, I think, had three or four possessions in the final 2 minutes where they came up empty and you just kept...
They missed layups.
Yeah, they missed layups. And you're like, God, they're killing their chances of pulling off a phenomenal upset. But at the same time, Kansas didn't put them away because they were also not cashing in. A remarkable win for TCU. Now, I don't know what this means. I don't think this gets them inside the bubble. But as a program, when were we talking about them like this last year?
No.
Or the year before?
No.
Or the and year if, I'm before? Not mis- if I'm not mistaken, that before. Actually snaps a 22-game losing streak by the Horned Frogs against ranked teams, which is another impressive stat that went by the wayside tonight.
Yeah, this program is getting – they're on the brink of being nationally relevant. And even if they don't make the NCAA tournament this year, their program is healthy. And if they happen to win this conference tournament, then they'll have national relevance this year. But what a year for TCU, and what a big way to – what a big win in the latter part of their season. Good for them. I still don't think it's enough. I think they need the automatic bid.
The bottom half of the bracket there, West Virginia with a win over Texas as expected, but this is the other place where the bracket got blown up here. Kansas State beating Baylor, and we didn't really discuss Kansas State in our mock committee today. We didn't get that far along in the in terms of teams, but I think that that might be the win that puts Kansas State in, and I'm not a Kansas State, I'm not a Bruce Weber fan, but another huge win, David.
Yeah, and they just have multiple wins at the top of their profile that suggest that they should be in. But the thing is, they also have a lot of bad losses. This team ranges between absolutely pitiful and utterly amazing. That's their range.
Yeah. And, John, West Virginia, K-State, TCU, Iowa State, you see either the lower seeds advancing tomorrow?
Kansas State probably, but I think TCU is – probably not going to be able to get an upset for the third straight night.
So you're picking K-State over West Virginia?
I actually am.
Okay. I'm not, but.
It's going to be Iowa State, West Virginia.
Yeah, I agree with David.
It's going to be Iowa State.
Pac-12 day. It was quarterfinal round day as Oregon rolled Arizona State. Arizona had a close game with Colorado. Put them away, but then we had two really good ones. Cal over Utah and UCLA just knocked off USC. But David, the Cal-Utah game, Cal was actually pretty big and did everything they could to try to blow this game, but just couldn't do it.
Right, and it was real symbolic of their season. They've tried to blow it, but haven't quite done it yet. You know, this is the semifinal I think a lot of us were expecting to see. All three heavyweights still in it, but barely. UCLA had to really sweat that one out after building up what appeared to be a comfortable lead at one point in that game.
And as far as the Cal game goes, this was actually the first time in 2 years that a lower-seeded team had won in the Pac-12 because Chalk had actually held for, I think, 24 straight games is what they were saying earlier today.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. Huh.
Yeah. All right, well, we got Cal Oregon tomorrow. I guess the question there is, do we see the upset? And Arizona UCLA, I think the real interesting question here is, especially if we get that UCLA Oregon final, could that be a battle for a one seed?
I think so. I have had UCLA on my personal one line, and I've been telling the committee that that's what they need to be doing. And if UCLA wins this tournament, of course you put them on the one line.
I think we got, especially that late game tomorrow should be a real fun one between Arizona and UCLA.
Yeah, really.
Well, Oregon versus either Arizona or UCLA could possibly be for a one seed.
I don't know that Arizona can make the one line, even if they win these two games. I reserve the right to change my mind, but I don't know that Arizona has the profile that UCLA or Oregon does at the moment. Yeah. Of course, with a win over UCLA and a win over Oregon, that may give them that profile. So, we will see what happens. SEC tournament, second round day in the SEC, involving eight teams, seven of which probably have, at least six, if not seven, which have no relevance whatsoever. But we started with Georgia, who may have some relevance here with win over Tennessee. They had two really good games this year with Kentucky, two really fun ones. You remember one of them was Brent Musburger's final game there. And this could be a fun game tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Georgia, Kentucky.
And Georgia's still, playing for their tournament. Well, they're playing for their season because as soon as they lose, I think that they're out. Winning this one goes a long way.
They win this one. Maybe they still have to beat South Carolina in the semifinals, but they may get in without having to win the finals there.
Yeah, but they would have to win this one.
Yeah. John, we saw Alabama roll over Mississippi State. They get South Carolina tomorrow.
You might recall the last time they played, it was rather fun.
This was a quadruple overtime game, yes.
Yeah.
We also saw Ole Miss and Missouri and Kim Anderson's season and career, at least at Missouri. They get Arkansas tomorrow. And we saw Vanderbilt, the most important game, John, though, not only beat A&M, but did it in a convincing fashion.
I mean, it's going to be very difficult for the Commodores to beat Florida three times, but playing it in their home city, it's not out of the question.
All right. We've been doing podcasts every night, John, and there's multiple times where you have said a team is going to win because they already beat the other team twice. Now you're reversing track on me. Will you make up your mind?
No.
Okay. David, do you see any upsets tomorrow?
Yes.
Okay.
Vandy over Florida.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to happen.
I think it happens. On this one, oh, no, I think it happens, and I think that they win the next one, too.
That they beat Ole Miss?
Vandy's going. Yeah, that they – well, whoever wins that Ole Miss-Arkansas game. I love the way this Vanderbilt team is playing. They went into Kentucky, and I know that Kentucky fought their way back into it, but they blew – I mean, they just sprinted out to that big lead and were right in there for the whole game. And that's been really their only loss at Kentucky, and they almost won that one. It wouldn't surprise me if they won the whole tournament.
Mountain West today, we had quarterfinal round day as Nevada took care of Utah State easily. Fresno State, New Mexico gave us a pretty good game. Colorado State and San Diego State both rolled, including that upset, San Diego State upset that we called last night.
Yeah.
John, your thoughts on the semifinals, though, heading into tomorrow? Nevada, Fresno, Colorado State, San Diego State.
I think San Diego State is probably going to pull off the upset again. I mean, Pope for, I think the Aztecs did hurt himself late in the game, but it didn't appear to be too serious from what I saw. So unless something changes, he should be good to go for tomorrow night's game.
Well, John, what about Nevada Fresno State? Didn't they play twice already this season?
Yep, and Fresno State won it twice.
Therefore?
They will lose.
Okay. I'm with John on that one.
I think Nevada, that I kind of like this idea here that San Diego State was going to knock off Colorado State. You are talking about a Colorado State team playing its second game in two nights, and they have a very short roster. Very short.
Opposed to San Diego State, who just lost a key player.
If he can't play.
Yeah.
American Conference. We had three thrillers, David.
Just including a blistering
Tulsa-Tulane game, UConn sweating out South Florida, East Carolina over Temple. How excited were you for these games?
I was thrilled. There's more people watching this podcast than there were at those games.
But let's talk about tomorrow. We do have SMU and Cincinnati both kicking off their tournament, their American Conference tournament runs, as well as SMU playing East Carolina, Cincinnati plays Tulsa. The other two games are Houston, UConn, and Central Florida, Memphis. Any upsets you're predicting?
Let me see. No.
John?
I think the chalk holds all the way across.
I mean, it's always a good sign when Mick Cronin is trying to sow some seeds of doubt with the American Conference about teams trying to be overly physical against the Bearcats. But in other breaking news, water is wet. The sun rises in the east. But I don't see any upsets coming out of these games tomorrow.
Right. I mean, maybe UCF Memphis, but you can't call a 4-5 game an upset anyhow.
Right.
Conference USA today, we start with Middle Tennessee getting their first of three tests done by rolling over to San Antonio.
They're going to have a tough game tomorrow. UTEP blasted Rice. I mean, Rice came back to make it respectable, but UTEP led by more than 20 for a good portion of that game. For UTEP is the worst, best team I've ever seen.
UTEP's had a crazy season. They started out, I think, 1-12 or something, 1-13. They were
1-13.
They were losing home games to the likes of Southeastern Louisiana and Maryland Eastern Shore. And they've only lost three times since January 14th. Now, hottest team in Conference USA after Middle Tennessee.
Yeah, one of those three losses was a last-second tip-in that was waved off that would have won them the game.
And they beat Middle Tennessee in that stretch as well.
They did.
John, the bottom half of the bracket there, we see that Louisiana Tech won. And then though they weren't advanced, there you go, Marshall.
Yeah.
Thank you, John.
Yeah.
1 point, huge 1 point win over Old Dominion. John, your thoughts on this matchup coming tomorrow?
With this matchup coming up tomorrow, I think Louisiana Tech is going to be advancing to the title game, but they have not gone to the NCAA tournament since the early 90s.
Yeah, they've had a lot of good teams in that stretch. It always seemed to come up short in conference tournaments. So,
including a bunch of great Mike White teams in recent years.
Yeah, they had some real good teams, and they dealt with injuries. And one year I thought they kind of dealt with a snub You know, the year that they won at Oklahoma, but still didn't get in. But
I'm going to go with Marshall though tomorrow, David. I think I'm going to take the upset there.
I'm still going to go with Louisiana Tech, but I'm really looking forward to both these games. I think it's a good pair of semifinal action. La Tech getting the win in Birmingham, so
yeah,
and they're really on a roll. They really embarrassed UAB today.
And don't be shocked if UTEP knocks off Middle Tennessee.
Yeah, I won't be. I'll be disgusted, but I won't be shocked.
Mid-American, and we'll start making other bubble teams sweat as well if that happens.
Yeah.
Mid-American Conference, we saw Akron actually, even though we had a lot of close games here, only one was a seeding upset. And that was a late game between Kent State and Buffalo. But yeah, we told you we expected a lot of close games, and we sure as hell got them. 2 3-point games and a 1-point game, David.
Yeah, fun day. I mean, I was glued to this one all day long. Of course, I had many screens and was glued to all of them all day long. But, I mean, it was just back and forth, good atmosphere, good rivalry. And look at this. How about, well, first of all, Ball State, we're not used to seeing them this deep in this tournament. They got the real nice win today, and they got a chance to take on Akron, who is slumping a little bit, although they won easily today. And another possibility, I mean, it seems like you put together any combination of two teams in this conference and you have a rivalry, but the first place rivalry where two games away, like Akron and Kent State, are paired up to maybe meet again.
It could happen. Championship game. Probably the two biggest rivals among all these rivals of this conference. John, Kent State's got to get by Ohio tomorrow. What are your thoughts on that one?
I think Ohio is going to win that one. Good Lord, it's late.
Oh, no.
But I think I'm also going to go with the former Xavier assistant and James Whitford, who's now in charge of Ball State. They'll be able to pull the upset against Akron tomorrow.
Yeah, Whitford has done a great job with this Ball State program. I just wanted to throw that out there.
Big Sky Tournament. We had quarterfinal round day today as North Dakota rolled over Portland State. Idaho won a thriller over Montana. And the late games were blowouts, though, as Eastern Washington and Weber State both advanced.
Yeah.
Setting up semifinals tomorrow of North Dakota, Idaho, and Eastern Washington, Weber. Top four seeds, David.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to both of these as well. It should be fun. North Dakota looking pretty good today, albeit against a weaker Portland State team.
Chad, you're being way too modest. You need to talk about your clutch free throws against Montana today.
Yeah, I played pretty well today. Made a few free throws, helped my brother out as well. My brother Nate there. Chad Sherwood and the Idaho Vandals to come take a shot at the one seed tomorrow evening, as well as that Eastern Washington Weber game. That could be a real good one.
Mm-hmm.
Big West today. These games were not advanced, but we can let you know what happened at least. UC Irvine knocked off Riverside, Long Beach over Hawaii, Fullerton, and UC Davis both won as well. Really not that exciting of any of the games. I guess they were all kind of close for a while, but at the end.
None went down to the wire, but it was still a fairly. I mean, the games were still fairly good.
Tomorrow,
the most notable one probably Irvine struggling with Riverside, but Jim Less and UC Davis, our pick, still alive.
Yeah, and tomorrow's semifinals are Irvine versus Long Beach in the early game, Fullerton against Davis in the late game. John, who do you pick in tomorrow?
I'm going to go – I think I went with Fullerton when we initially did the question, and I'm going to stick with Fullerton on the bottom half of the bracket and go with Irvine in the top half.
Fullerton and Irvine. Okay, let's see what else we had. We had the WAC today where we had the three quarterfinal games. Bakersfield gets a bye into Friday's semis. But Utah Valley, New Mexico State both rolled. While David, we had a real fun game between UMKC and UTRGV.
Yeah, overtime. It was fun. It was close the whole way. I remember thinking after watching it, has anyone ever managed to lead by more than 4 points? It was that. It seems like that all window was that close the whole way.
Yeah, UMKC gets New Mexico State tomorrow. We actually struggled for about a half with Chicago State before they put that game away.
Yeah.
Bakersfield and Utah Valley. John, what are you going with in tomorrow's games?
I'm going with both Bakersfield and the Aggies here.
Yeah, and that should be a good final. It certainly was last year.
We had some major upsets in the Big 12 tonight. Another conference that we saw some major upsets in, some big-time upsets in tonight, though not on a much smaller scale, was the MEAC, where how about those Howard Bison knocking off three-seed Morgan State and now in the semifinals against Norfolk State, David?
Yeah, that's big, Howard. And then the other side of the bracket, Maryland Eastern Shore. Now, I know it wasn't that big of an upset, but how far this program has come, and just in over the years to finishing fifth. I mean, this is one of the worst programs in Div 1, and here they are after having a relatively good season and having a wonderful tournament so far.
Right. And, John, can either of these teams pull off the upset in the semifinals?
In the case of Howard, better late than never, but I don't think they're getting past Norfolk here.
How about UMES? You think you can pick them over NC Central?
Nope.
No? All right. No upsets. David, do you want to disagree?
I want UMES to win just because I think it would be good, but no, I don't disagree. But I do think that Norfolk v. NC Central in Norfolk would be a fun final, although it should be in North Carolina.
Southland today, we had the second round or the quarterfinal round where Sam Houston State had a tough battle with Houston Baptist and pulled out.
Yeah.
And SFA rolled over Lamar.
Yeah, that Sam Houston Baptist game, we thought it would be fun. It was. They advanced tomorrow. And another big game against New Orleans, trying to get to the NCAA tournament since rejoining Division I. And, Chad, I got to say, I think they can do more than just get there. I think they're a dark horse. I think they could get to the Elite Eight.
Well, David, what I'm going to say is I think we're going to have a real fun championship game when Stephen F. Austin and Sam Houston State, the top rivals of this conference, meet.
Stealing my thunder again.
It would be fun. It always is.
Yeah, I'm not convinced on either New Orleans or Texas A&M Corpus Christi, although I think, especially with New Orleans, it would be a real fun story.
Yeah.
Sunbelt is back in action. Had the day off here on Thursday. Back in action here Friday with the quarterfinal round, four games. John, we have Coastal Carolina, Arlington, Monroe against Texas State, Louisiana Lafayette against Georgia State, Troy against Georgia Southern. First question is, do you see any upsets?
Georgia State would be, I think, the most upset prone of the four right here. But I'm really looking forward to a potential Arlington and Texas State rematch in the semifinals.
Well, I think that Arlington has the easy – well, let me just say two things. First of all, I think Louisiana Lafayette, I do agree with you. They just beat Arlington at the end of the regular season. They can use that momentum to possibly pull off another upset here. I think Arlington would roll over either Louisiana Monroe or Texas State. But, David, I'm scared about Coastal Carolina and Cliff Ellis there.
Not so much. I think they win that one without too much trouble, and I think it sets up the what should be a fun semi of UT Arlington, Texas State, and then the Georgia State, Georgia Southern schools going travel partner on us.
It's going to be a little bit different for Coastal Carolina this year, not getting to host the conference tournament.
Yeah. We'll see what happens tomorrow. That's all I'll say. Mm-hmm. The SWAC is also back in action tomorrow with the two semifinal games, Southern against Alcorn State and in the late game. And if Alcorn State wins that, then the early game will actually determine our NCAA tournament bid in a game that nobody will get to watch, David.
Yeah, not being streamed anywhere, which is horrible.
Unless, I mean, you know, we'll let you know on the website if something gets released, we'll let you know.
Yeah. And best of all, it's going to be played at 3:30 in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. You want to talk about clutch timing.
But Grambling going for the their first ever NCAA tournament bid, two-time Centenary Award winner, is the worst team in D1, and it'd be real fun to see them win this tomorrow.
Yeah, I might be going with my heart and not my head, but I am picking them to win.
Well, I picked Grambling to lose to Alcorn State in the championship game, and I'm sticking with that pick.
All right.
That concludes our review of the games. Up next is our survival board, I think. Yes, let's go to the survival board here. And then we'll Very busy day. As you can see, heading into the day today, we had 176 teams left on the board. And, John, let me throw it over to you today. Can you explain to us, those that aren't familiar with it, what this board means?
Well, if we scroll back up a little bit, you'll see that the teams that are listed in bold and caps are already locked into the tournament. And teams that are in bold but not in caps are projected by our staff to be locked into the tournament and should get in even if they lose their last game or have already lost. Teams in italics are still being considered as to whether or not they'll be getting into the field. But if you're in normal text like East Carolina, you lose, you're out.
Well, John, you missed the most important thing, which is that this is not just what we're predicting. This is a service, David, that we are doing for the actual selection committee.
Yeah, I mean, they're very busy people. They've got full-time jobs on top of being committee members. And this kind of does it for them. It's just sort of like a frozen dinner. It's already done.
We're going to go ahead and update, see what happened as a result of all of today's games. And 50 teams fell off today, David. Wow.
Yeah. Now, not all of it was a result of just today's games. Full disclosure, we'll get to this in a minute, but our Hoops HD committee is on night one and a half, night two, and we voted some of the teams that we had previously had in italics out.
Yes, so a few teams, example, Ohio State probably should have come off last night. We left them on until our first meeting today. They are gone now from the Big Ten. There was only about five or six of those. The rest of them all got eliminated by losing today. But you see a lot less teams on this board here. It's a lot smaller, so hopefully the committee will have a lot easier job tomorrow.
Right. I mean, this is just easier to kind of digest here.
And on that note, let's talk very briefly about what our tournament selection committee did today. In fact, I can pull our screen up here also. This is our Hoops HD tournament selection committee board. We did show up briefly last night. We have had a lot of movement here. As you can see, we actually ended up voting in seven more teams today. Michigan, Northwestern, Seton Hall, Arkansas, Marquette, Michigan State, and Xavier all in the field. We also removed a lot of teams from the under consideration board. You see some teams kind of in a colored here. Those teams, their seasons is over. That's just the reason they're colored. We see four teams over here. These are the next four teams up that might get into the field as spots open, but they are not there yet, and they are not, their voting has not been completed yet. They're just teams that we have at least had some discussions about.
Right.
And if you look at it on the under consideration board, you'll also notice that the teams are crossed out in there.
But the most important thing that happened tonight is one extra team that's on the under consideration board, David.
Yes, there they are, Alabama A&M. You see them.
The award was officially given out. They have won our Centenary Award as the worst team in D1. There was some dissenting votes. A few of our panels wanted North Carolina A&T, but Alabama A&M did win, so congrats to the Bulldogs, the 2017 Centenary Award winner. The rumored golden toilet seat may or may not be delivered to you.
Right. They certainly earned that one.
On that note, let me go ahead and pull this down here. Let me run through each of you. Any other final thoughts? I forgot something, David.
What's that?
We actually, during the course of the meeting tonight, we actually took some minutes here.
Oh, you don't need to read those.
And I thought that I would do us a little favor here. John, you were keeping the minutes, but I was kind of, we actually doubled up a little bit that I realized you were keeping the minutes and posting them in our, but I figured I would go ahead and actually show them on the screen here. And these were the minutes that I started taking.
You don't need to show the.
It began around 9 o'clock today when the meeting was called to order. David wasn't actually there, but I began to make my decisions. Decided to begin anyway. The first thing we did was that we reviewed our board and our nomination board. That we had some general discussion about who voted teams onto the tournament board and who didn't make it, and who voted teams onto the nomination board that didn't make it. 9:27, David showed up. He walked in the room, belligerent, completely disrupted the ongoing conversations, and screamed about hotel security, threatened to throw him out. 9:28, David, what happened about Nebraska?
Well, I mean, Nebraska received the three votes necessary, and I know that they did, and yet they were not on the board.
But, and,
The rules are that they needed to be three. That they needed
David,
to be three.
I forced you to stop at that time. I'm going to force you again at 9:33. I explained to you exactly what happened. That you are not allowed to vote for Nebraska three times. That does not count.
Well,
you
I don't
get credit for one vote for Nebraska, and they need to get on the board.
Well, here's what bothers me. First, it's just not respecting the process. The rules say three votes. They got three votes. Secondly, it is just the ignorance in the people's inability to be objective in the sea that Nebraska belongs in.
Well, again, I had to stop the meeting 9:34 because Dave did exactly that, became loud and belligerent again, completely interrupted one of our other committee members in the middle of a sentence to motion Nebraska back onto the board. There was no seconds, John, at all. It did not happen. At 9:37, David started screaming at another committee. I called him a – I don't even know what that is.
A chump twat?
I don't know what that is. No one did. So we didn't even know what to do at that point. But at 9:39, he again interrupted somebody while they were speaking. He motioned Nebraska onto the board. No seconds. At 9:42, we made a motion that David no longer be allowed to make any motions. That motion actually passed, John, if you remember that one. 9-1. Dissenter, though.
I think we had the same blueprint from last year at about that time.
Well, how is it you can make a motion that you just can't make any more motions?
David, this is exactly what happened. At 9:43, we had to stop the meeting a third time when you again became belligerent. 9:46, we had to remove you from the room. And 9:51, we sent you back to the puppet bunker. So,
and I'm still locked in here.
That was it. But those of you that want to know what goes on in the committee meetings, much like in the real committee meeting,
yeah, much like the real committee room. That's pretty much the same thing that was, yeah.
But on that note, John, do you have any final thoughts for the night?
If you're a team like Xavier, if you're TCU, or if you're Kansas State, I mean, you should feel happy about what you're able to do tonight. But especially in the case of TCU, you still got quite a bit of work to do. And we'll say the same thing for Georgia tomorrow. They have an outside shot at getting in. But if they beat Kentucky, it'll go a long way.
All right, David.
It's late, and I just want to get out of this bunker. Well, I mean, I don't feel that you were, like, entirely forthcoming as to what all this would entail.
David, I'm going to try to get you some more food tomorrow at least.
Okay.
I was making my dinner tonight, and I dropped a few I dropped some stuff on the floor. I didn't put it in the trash can, but I can still get it back out.
Why can't you just let me out of here?
I think I have a can of cat food as well. Do you eat
cat food? I don't need cat. No, I eat real food. Like, real. I just don't. Why can't you just let me out of here?
I want to give him a can of tuna and see if he's a cannibal.
Of course.
Well, on that note, on behalf of John Saliga and David Griggs, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back in tomorrow night.
Still locked in the bunker. I'll be down in here.
Crazier again. Talk to you real soon.